Morning. This morning we have the third installment of a little series on the Psalms. We're going to look at the Psalms of Lament. These are perhaps the one time of literature in the whole Bible that we feel least comfortable with. Doesn't match with our style of religion. Doesn't match with our understanding of prayer. We think we know what prayer ought to look like and sound like. Kneel up straight. Fold your hands. Bow your head. Close your eyes. And say something reverent. Something pious. Something perhaps mildly archaic. That's prayer. The Psalms of Lament don't fit that definition at all, so we feel uncomfortable with them. But they're terribly real, terribly useful. If we learn to pray that way, we'll be much better off. And our faith will grow because it can take root in our heart rather than lurking in the appropriate corner of our brain. Psalms of Lament start out as laments. Have you ever been so frustrated in a store or an office or whatever that you finally just interrupted the conversation with the clerk or whoever it was that was, and it said, "I need to speak to the manager now." When you feel that way about life, the Psalms of Lament want to speak to the manager of the universe. Now. That's what they're for. And they pour it out. And they're perfectly candid about it. They weep. They scream. They rail. They rant. They use language that we would consider thoroughly inappropriate. They talk to God in ways that we wouldn't believe, dream of talking to God. "Are you asleep up there?" I mean, that's verbatim from one of the Psalms of Lament. "Are you asleep up there?" We don't normally talk to God that way, but it's real. They pour out their hearts. They don't censor their thoughts. They don't censor their feelings. Tell God exactly what they feel. Different things. All kinds of laments going on. Some of them are communal laments. "Why, Lord? Why did you let the Babylonians win? What are we doing here in exile? Slaves again. Thought you brought us out of Egypt for a purpose. What's this all about anyway?" We can relate to that. Think of the last election that your strongly preferred candidate lost. "Why, Lord? Why are you leading our whole country down the garden path?" Most of them are individual. A person cries out in time of sickness. "They all tell me I'm going to die. Does anybody praise you among the dead? Do you get a lot of glory out of Sheol? We have a mutual interest in this, Lord. Keep me alive and I will continue to praise you." They cry out in pain. They're oppressed. "Wicked people have risen up against me. My former friends are stabbing me in the back." You've been there. Felt that. They pray that. Talk to God about it. When you read them, you can relate to it if you're there, or if you can sort of recreate a time in your life when you were. Otherwise, you can admire them. Good poetry. Well done. Good theology. Like that stuff. But you can't really feel it. The Psalms of Lament are the blues songs of Israel. And the two rules about the blues. You got to feel the blues in order to sing the blues. You can't sing the blues authentically unless you've been there. Unless you can put yourself in that place, feel that ache in your heart before you pick up the instrument, before you open your mouth. The other rule is quite the opposite. When you feel the blues, you got to sing the blues. Got to let it out. Got to let it hang out in public. It's the only way it works. Same way with the Psalms of Lament. When you read the Psalter, and I hope you're all reading the Psalter, unless we're doing all this for nothing, you come across a lot of Psalms of Lament. There are plenty of them in there. You can appreciate them, but you can't really feel them unless you've been there and unless you can sort of go back to that point in your life and be there while you're reading it. Then it makes sense. Then it clicks in. Then you can not just read it as a literary critic. Then you can pray it. And mark some off in the margin and pray them. Don't be afraid to cry to God. Don't be afraid to rail at God. One of the most famous of the Psalms of Lament is the one that Jesus recites on the cross in Mark and Matthew. My God, why have you abandoned me? Starts off in a rage against God. If his arms hadn't been nailed down, he'd be shaking his fist at the heavens. Don't be afraid to do any of that. Pray to God from the depths of the pain, from the depths of the loneliness, from the depths of the despair, from the depths of the abandonment. Pray it out. But then notice, as you read the Psalms, that they all end in a different place than they began. As the little flyer points out, that's what makes the Psalms of Lament different from the Book of Lamentations, which is just sort of one funeral dirge from one end to the other. The Psalms of Lament start there. Start there very emphatically, and you can feel it, that this is real for the person singing it. But they don't stop there. They all end with a note of confident trust in the Lord. You will bring me out of this. You will raise me up. You will take my part against my malicious foe. You will stand with us in our time of national calamity. You will rescue me from the plots of the wicked. And I will praise you for it in the midst of the assembly and sing your name in the gathering of your faithful. And that sounds, feels awfully hollow. Does he really go from here to there in half a page? No. But neither do the blues songs. Neither does anything else you've ever read. Think about it. This is an artistic compression of something that took much longer. And you're going to have to let it take much longer. This is where, woven through our days, notice that a new set of pieces has been added to speak of the Psalms of Lament. We need to weave them through our days to understand them. Because the process they show is paradigmatic for us. But we've got to weave them through our days. You can't do it in one sitting. You've got to do it again and again and again till it begins to reveal itself. When you come to God crushed by grief, by bitterness, by guilt, by oppression, by whatever, the first time, the second time, the third time, the tenth time you read that psalm, those first verses are going to be the ones that resonate with your gut. Go on and read the whole psalm. Pray the whole psalm every day. But concentrate on the ones that speak to you. Those ones that express the grief and the pain. But as you go through the process, as the people who wrote the psalms went through the process, you begin to notice something. We're still here. We're still here for each other. God and me. I may still be shaking my fist, but you don't shake your fist at somebody you don't believe in. I may be still screaming, but God is still there. And that's maybe why I'm comfortable still screaming. Just laying it all on God's shoulders is already an act of faith, isn't it? I mean, how many bosses have you had in your life? Think back. How many of them were idiots? How many of them did you inform of that fact sooner than your last day of work there? Probably none, right? Because you didn't trust them. And probably shouldn't have. The bigger an idiot he was, the less likely he was to take what you had to say as constructive criticism of his management style. And the more likely he was to simply hand you a pink slip. So you didn't say anything. You didn't dare rail at that turkey. But when you were a kid, you railed at your parents because you knew they'd still be there. As a parent, when you lose your temper, you rail at your kids. And you know they'll still be there. And paradigmatically, you rail at your spouse. This is the person that you're most committed to and who you know is absolutely committed to you. And you can lay it all on the table and still be there for each other. That's a real act of faith. When I do that psalm lament every day for a week, for a month, as I work my way through my pain, that begins to be a part of my consciousness. It starts to grow in my gut. Just the fact that I'm still complaining to God says something about our relationship. It says something about my faith in God and about God's willingness to stand there and take it. And take it. And take it. And from there, you get to that last step. That step of the confidence. Yes. We have gone this far together. We will get through this together. God will raise me up. There may not be any miracles involved. Maybe there will. I can still hope. You know? But probably not. But God will not go away. God will still be there. God will walk me through the rest of this, the way that God has walked me this far. And then I begin to feel those last verses of the Psalms of Lament. And probably the last times that I'm praying it in that cycle, I'll go back to it again the next time the roof caves in. But the last few times that I'm praying it in that cycle, those first few verses are more memory. Yeah, the pain is still there, the loss is still there, the anger is still there. But it's not as raw anymore. And it's not really what I'm resonating to. What I'm really resonating to now is the consequence of the end. We've been through this. We will go through this. We will get through this. We will get through it together. I trust in my God who is never failing. You can't do that in one reading of the psalm. You can't do that in sitting down and reading it five times and waiting for the fifth time to be different than the first four. You got to do it day by day, sometimes week by week, month by month. It's the old Lectio Divina process that we've talked about, you know, where you read it and think about it and pray about it and then just sit there. And you go back to that same psalm of lament because you're still in that same lament time and time again until it happens before you notice it. You don't decide. It's not like, you know, the stages of grief. You know, it's time for me to move from stage three to stage four. No, no, no. You see yourself doing it. You see yourself moving from the lament to the recognition of God's presence, to the confidence in God's continuing presence. You watch it happen in yourself. You weave it into the days of your life, and you can experience God in a way that they experience God. It's a commitment. You got to commit yourself to weaving it into your life. One reading isn't going to do it. You got to be honest. You got to pray it the way it comes out of your gut. You got to lament the way they lament. Feel free in your second reading, third reading of a day, change the words, add some verses of your own. You got to stick with it until you feel God sticking with it too. And then you got to express that final confidence with just as much abandon as you express the beginning pain. They're a tremendous resource for us, these Psalms of Lament, if we will take the time and make the commitment to use them honestly, to weave them into the days of our lives, and to let them help us pray when we really need it most. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.